of Creating Powerful Impact. I'm your host, Shay Wheat, founder of Grace and Ease Productions, where we support entrepreneurs just like you with event-based marketing and sales strategies, allowing you to build your authority, your credibility, and your visibility in the industry. Now, I'm excited for today's guest because this woman is all about the income, but doing it a little differently than you may have thought of. So today we have Emma Powell, who is the owner and operator of High Rise Group, managing nearly 800 commercial real estate units, and is also a managing partner raising private debt and equity with Rise Capital Investments Fund for investors seeking low risk, low time investing. That's what I'm interested in,
Yeah.
is the low risk and the low time part, because we are all busy entrepreneurs that are listening to this and showing up right now. Emma has also been featured on Business Insider, Bigger Pockets, Best Ever, as well as many other programs and stages. She absolutely loves speaking about getting started in real estate and by learning to network and learning to analyze deals, thinking bigger and scaling quickly. So please help me welcome Emma Powell to the Creating Powerful Impact stage. How are you, Emma?
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. I saw one of your, I guess, speakers or clients on the Tony Robbins event for women recently, and I just thought they have got themselves figured out. So we're just really honored to be on your show today and talk about something that I get so excited and passionate about with people who may not know about it yet.
Yeah, well, and so I want to make sure that we chat a little bit about, or all of it, about the whole passive investing side of it. And really, like, what is it? What's entailed with it? How do we kind of start? Let's start there. And then I'll probably have a number of other questions, and you probably have some examples for us and things along those lines too, because it's a different world for me, right? I know how to run and produce events, I know how to run my business. A lot of people on here are the same, but we've got to think about when we're done doing what we're doing, what else is there that's kind of going to back us up, especially as solopreneurs? You know, what does the retirement look like?
Yes, exactly. And I think a lot of people have a talk or they understand the earlier you get started, the earlier you can start to build that compound interest and the sooner you can have your nest egg so that you can retire on passive income. Everybody understands this. It's just most people are looking at it from, well, I didn't start when I was 20, so I really damaged myself. And they have everything in the stock market. And I invest in the stock market as well. I have a S&P 500 and total index. And the reason that I do that instead of trading is through all these years of trying to figure out stock trading and retirement accounts and hearing, oh, start younger, start younger, start younger. Start younger. I realized after some research that I couldn't beat the market. Something what like 4% of investors or traders can actually beat the market. And I didn't have any kind of financial gift and didn't even really like looking at the business reports and the prospectus that I would see. And I just thought, well, why am I even bothering? Had a friend who has a publicly traded mutual fund, one of those high load funds, and we would barter. Teaching one another. Like I would teach him something that I knew something about, and then he would teach me about the stock market. And what I gained from that experience was I don't really want to invest in a managed fund. I don't really want to invest in anything because he's not beating the market. All these people I knew, some family members, full-time traders, not beating the market. And so I figured, well, I'm just gonna put my money in there, set it and forget it. When that is passive income eventually through a retirement account. But I wanted to retire early, and that took a different path and a course. And I had to figure out what that path looked like because it wasn't the market at 8% returns. I needed to be doing something like 10 to 20% returns in order to build my nest egg up large enough that we could retire early. So similar concept to what most people are familiar with, but you need to be in investments that are going to yield a higher return than the market.
So how, like, talk to me about the whole piece of it being low risk, low time investing.
Yeah, so when you look at investments, you're going to have a risk-adjusted return. And this is reflected in something called a Sharpe ratio. And it's basically taking a theoretical zero risk investment, which is doesn't exist, right? We're going to take that theoretical zero risk and we're going to weigh that against the performance of different asset classes. And so I was looking at something that was going to be low risk, and I found that real estate was very low risk. And inside of real estate, multifamily, like large commercial multifamily, we're not talking about like duplex, triplex, although that is less risk than a single. large multifamily and then some industrial like self-storage were the lowest risk inside of that. And so they had the best Sharpe ratio of all of the things that I was looking at. Now you're going to have a higher return from running a business. And so if you want to run a business and you are an entrepreneur, it made sense to me to run a real estate business because I could be investing in real estate assets and getting business deductions as well as other tax write-offs from the depreciation. And so I wanted to put those two things together in kind of a magic combination, but most of our investors are not in that position where they want to run a real estate business. So they allow me to run my business. They invest with me passively so they can go and run their business or do their high paid profession. So it's all about asking yourself, what is the highest and best use of your time versus the amount of money that you can make doing that activity? I was a photographer before. I was hustling just as hard. It was a lot less risky, so maybe a little less stressful. But at the same time, I really wasn't making very much money for my time. And so I had to take a step back when my husband got laid off in 2017. We moved across the country. I didn't have a business anymore because photography requires a local clientele. And I just had to sit back and say, what am I going to do with phase two of my life here? I was 40 years old. I had just graduated college and really kind of put me into a spin about what's next. Graduating college in itself was enough of a change because I now had a new tool in my belt that if I wanted to change my career, I could. But having that layoff and that move so close on the heels of graduation, it really just put me into several months of introspection. And this is where I came out on the other side. I want to be a business owner and I want it to be a real estate business owner because I'm not a surgeon. I'm not an engineer. I was a photographer and a graphic designer. So the highest and best use of my time was a real estate business. And we just help people invest who maybe have a higher and better use of their time as professionals or business owners.
That makes sense. Okay. So before we got on, you were talking a little bit about having a conversation with your sister. And I mean, it's your sister. And I'm sure a lot of people listening and watching the show right now is like, yeah, I can relate where our family has no clue what it is that we do for a living as business owners, to be honest, right? My family still has no idea what it is that I do. They know I just travel. They know I work with, you know, some high level people and they're just like, and you do this thing? I don't really know.
Yeah. People pay you for that?
I don't really get it. And do you have a retirement? Yeah. Anyway, so conversation with your sister who recently came into some income and is like, I think I need to do something with this, but I don't know what. What was that conversation like? Like, what was she asking you? What were you sharing with her? Show us like the behind the scenes of that conversation.
So my sister is, she probably could be a very good entrepreneur. She has an amazing attention to detail, but she doesn't want to be. She's a little bit older than me even. And I'm 47, so I don't want to out her so much there, but we're just starting to slow down and thinking more about passive income and thinking about how to build wealth that is going to sustain us in retirement. Starting a business at 47 or 49, and she also just recently recovered from cancer, just was not something that was on her radar. But they came into some cash from selling a home, from some bonuses at work, from some other, an inheritance, some other things. And just, they've just been sitting on it and sitting on it, living well below their means, sitting on this extra capital. And a lot of the listeners might be thinking, well, sure would like to be sitting on a pile of capital, right? But it happens more often than we think. You get an insurance settlement, you get a judgment, an inheritance, you buy a lottery ticket that somehow hits the jackpot. And we all know the story of the lottery winner who ends up poorer after than when they started. And so she very much feels the weight of that responsibility. And I can relate to it at a fractional sense because we had the same thing happen to us when after our layoff, when we left Texas, we had no debt. We were renting a house, literally no debt, but we sold our house in Texas and we were suddenly sitting on the largest pile of cash that we'd ever seen in our entire lives. And when I did the math and said, okay, if I invest this pile 100% passively, and I could expect a roughly 10 to 12% rate of return, how much money do I need to have invested to replace my husband's income? And the answer came out somewhere between $1.2 and $1.7 million. Well, it wasn't $1.2 million that I was sitting on. And I thought, okay, well, I have to double this money. And at a rate of, say, just 10% for easy math, the rule of 72 or the rule of 69 or whatever rule you want to use says that at a 10% rate of return, you multiply the doubling would be 7.2 years. So rule of 72 times 10%, 7.2 years to double it. I didn't want to take 7.2 years to double this because I actually, when I realized that we could retire early on passive income, I suddenly didn't want to wait. And so I started, that was when I started my active real estate business because I thought, okay, I can double this faster than 7.2 years. I can double it in probably 2 to 3 years. And then we can probably quit our jobs, financially free, but lean, living well below our means, slashing our expenses. And then my husband and I can go do something together to continue to build this. And so that's what we did last fall when he got laid off again, because it's not a question of if, it's just a question of when you work in a W-2 tech position. And so then he came into the business and now we run our private equity fund together. And so I just knew that I couldn't retire on passive income right then, but I had to get my nest egg up to a certain size by more than doubling it. And then we could start to think in a different way. And that realization, that rule of 72, really changed my life.
Okay, so walk us through, like, what did you do?
So the person who told me about this rule of 72 was somebody I met at my local real estate investing club. I kind of got lured into it a little bit because I was at a business networking event, or what I thought was a business networking event, because I was thinking I would start a consulting business of other small business owners. My degree was entrepreneurial management. I'd run my own small businesses. People didn't know how to do their books. They didn't know how to do their social media. I thought I can really help with the massage therapists and the insurance agents of the world, helping them run their small businesses. So I was at this meeting I thought was going to be that. But it ended up being one of those pitch fests, run to the back of the room to buy this expensive program to invest in real estate. And I just, oh, I was so upset. And so I went home from that feeling a little betrayed. And I looked it up. I just looked up the company to see if they were a scam or not. And I don't know why I did this. I should have just assumed it was a scam and moved on. But for whatever reason, I was still curious, because I probably because I was sitting on a pile of money. And you're thinking to yourself, well, it's not that much compared to how much I have. I could afford this education. I don't have to get a credit card to do it. And that's probably why I bothered, because I would never have bothered before having any cash, because we're just lucky to pay our mortgage and have an emergency fund, right? And so I looked it up, and then I came across these more reputable resources. I came across our local real estate investing clubs. I came across biggerpockets.com, which has free and low cost real estate investor education. It's really changed the face of investing. And I started just hanging out. I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew I didn't want a huge hustle, but I also knew I didn't want to be completely retired because my husband was working, my kids were getting a little older, and I literally was watching cat videos on YouTube, just bored, and my house was spotless. And I just thought, okay, I need something, but I don't want it to be full-time work. I need it to be part-time. And so basically what I did is I just started attending these clubs, and I said to somebody that I trusted, I have some capital I'd like to invest. And I had heard of this thing called hard money loans, where real estate investors will borrow the money at a high interest rate and they'll go flip a house and then they return it to you. Somebody had approached us about a hard money loan. My realtor had a hard money loan on a flip he was doing. So heard this whisper. I thought, okay, at the time I thought it was a scam. At the time I thought it was too good to be true. Because who would pay 10% or 12% on your money? That's a scam. They have to pay higher than the stock market to get anybody to invest. So that's the first rule, because otherwise you just stick it in the market, set it and forget it, right? So they have to pay better than that. And so I knew this was a thing now. I believed it. And so I told her I had some money to invest, and she introduced me to some of the reputable flippers in the group who could use a large amount of cash. Most of them couldn't even use that much. They would need 50 or 100 grand. But I found one guy who was doing a larger project, and he was like, I can put that to use like next week. And so I went into his office and I spent some time working with him, and he mentored me because he wanted me to invest my money with him, right? And so he picked up the phone when I called, and he walked me through and whiteboarded me through the whole process of, like, you buy in a rental house, you buy four rental houses, you use a home equity line of credit to borrow against out so you can pay off this one, and moving, and my mind's kind of spinning, right? And I don't want to get into all of that, but people will get into all of that. If you have some money to invest, suddenly you have listening ears. And that was the path that I took, was to say, hey, I could go out there and try and figure this all out myself, or I could invest with somebody who knows what he's doing, is willing to teach me. And so during the course of that year, he flipped the house and returned the money to me. He gave me a lot of guidance and a lot of counsel. And it was, first, you're renting, so buy another house. So we bought another house, and he actually returned part of my investment so that I could do that. And then he would counsel with me. I wanted to buy a flip. I wanted to do this. And after talking with him for a while, I realized I didn't want to actually flip anything, watching him and talking to him. And so that was a great education of what I didn't want to do. I ended up taking a course on how to do seller financing, and I learned a lot about that. And it was an expensive course, and I have never done anything that expensive again, but I did make my money back from it. And just finding good teachers and finding free resources and low-cost resources. I've taken many courses that were $350, $1,500, $2,500, gone to a lot of conferences, Bigger Pockets, anybody who's putting on any kind of real estate conference or FinCon, WealthCon, these types of places where I can just go and learn. And then finally, I just learned by doing it. I underwrote one deal a day using the calculator on Bigger Pockets for residential. And then when I decided I wanted to go commercial, I decided I was going to underwrite one deal per week. And I would just get deals off of, there's a LoopNet or a Crexy. I don't really buy anything off of there. They don't really have good deals on there, but they had numbers I could look at and crunch through spreadsheets. And I was watching free videos on how to do spreadsheets. Again, I didn't have a job. And so this was this rabbit hole I spent months going down. I had the time to do it, but most of our investors are not going to go and spend that many hours down a rabbit hole. So I thought, okay, how do I condense this and make it easier so somebody can spend between 5 and 10 hours total and feel confident that they can start placing money into these private placements. So it's lower risk because the Sharpe ratio tells us that these things default at lower rates and make more money than similar types of investments. And it's low time because 10 hours of education, that's hardly anything. That's an online course. And it has the power to change your life if you can put enough money into it. Like I said, it's still a pile of money. It's no different than the stock market. You're instead of making 8%, you're making 12 or 15 or 20%. You still need a pile of money. And people come to me all the time and say, how do I get passive income? Like, how much money do you have? Nothing. Well, then you need to start a business. If you have cash and you can live below your means, then you can passively invest and expect to make some traction to retire early.
Is there kind of like a number that you suggest for people? Or is it just kind of different if it, you know, they're living in California versus living in Texas versus.
Yeah. And it's backing into it. What are you making right now? Or what do you need to make to be able to live comfortably? Or do you want to maintain your style of your lifestyle right now? Or are you willing to cut it like we did? And this is another example with my sister. I was willing to cut my lifestyle back to nothing so that we could retire faster. And she said, no, I want to maintain my current lifestyle. That's our choice to be able to make. And so every listener can make that choice and decide, do you want to maintain your current lifestyle before retiring? Or are you willing to slash it a little? And people who are willing to slash it are like the ones who go retire in Mexico or Panama, right? So we all have examples of people who are like, I need to lower my cost of living so that I can make this retirement thing work. And you get to choose that. So you choose the amount of money that you want to make per year. You choose a reasonable rate of return that you can expect. In the stock market, they use the 4% rule. So if you say, if I have $3 million saved up and I'm living off 4% of that, how much is that per year? And can I survive on that through things like inflation or increasing medical costs? So come up with that number, decide what percent rule you want to live on, 4%, 8%. I choose 10% because I feel like that's reasonable in real estate. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some. So you get a thick skin because not everything makes money. We say low risk. There's no such thing as no risk. And some deals do go wrong. So have an emergency fund for each deal in case they need more money to be put in. That's called a capital call. And just like you have an emergency fund for your household, you have another emergency fund for your business, and then have another emergency fund for each deal that I do. And that way I know that I can average around 10% between the great ones and the not so great ones. And then just figure out what that is. How much money do you need to make? And back into it. And then just start working towards it to pile up that amount of cash. I started out doing high yield investments because I didn't need the cash flow. My husband was working. So anything that was a high return, new construction, heavy construction, you know, they call it heavy value add, where it's not really cash flowing that great at the beginning because there's not much income coming in. People are moving out so you can renovate their apartments, or it's a new building. There's no income there. And then when my husband was getting closer to being ready to quit his job, we really shifted our attention very heavily to cash flowing investments. Those typically don't yield as high of returns because you're going to have to pick between cash flow and high yield. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you'll find a deal that does both. We have a few that do both, but for the most part, you're going to get higher returns or higher cash flow. And so we shifted our strategy to higher cash flow when he quit his job or he got laid off. And in the last year, everything we invest in has to have a high cash flow. But you know, eventually the cash flow solution will be enough that we can afford to live well, and we may go back to high yield investing in the next couple of years.
Beautiful. Okay. So you were saying earlier, being able to invest some time in finding things.
Mm-hmm.
In your group, in your investment group, do you support them in finding these deals? Do you educate them? Like, is the investor come to you and go, hey, take a look at this, and you go, yay, nay, tweak and adjust? Like, how does that process work?
Really great questions, because we have two different schools of thought that we use there. The first thing we encourage everybody to invest in is themselves. And we hear that it's such a trite phrase, so cliched. How do you invest in yourself? That's the time spent in the group, networking, looking at educational materials, learning how to read the documents. By investing in yourself, people talk a lot about like personal development, mindset, which is probably 90% of the game to believe you can do it and to be able to withstand the ups and downs of something like that. Imagine how you feel when you log in and your stock portfolio is down and you're like, I can't log in. I can't look. It's the same kind of thing. You need to be able to check on your investments with a less emotional head. And so a lot of that is mindset. So invest in yourself first. Believe passive income is a real thing. It's not a scam, because some people, when there's a lot of money to be made in something, scams will arise out of that. So you are going to have real estate scams. You are going to have finance scams. You are going to have different kinds of scams with any kind of passive income. So if there's a lot of money at stake, there are scams. And so learn how to watch out for those so that you can confidently go into a decision in something that is not a scam. And so a lot of people aren't willing to do that. They're not willing to tolerate that level of risk. And so like a lot of entrepreneurs are like, I'll just make more money. I'll just hustle more and make more money and keep it in the market. And if that's the decision that you make, because that's your risk profile, I don't think that the market is particularly low risk. It's highly volatile. But if that's what you feel comfortable with, then you just do what you feel comfortable with. Invest in yourself, figure out what you want. Second, we have two different groups that we use. One is for people who want to spend more than 10 hours. They want to maybe start a business. Maybe they want to become a professional capital raiser to invest in other people's deals. Maybe they want to get their own deals and raise capital into their deals. And so we run a weekly club every Monday night where we just call it the War Room, Rise Capital Investing Club. And we get in there and we just look at deals. And we use our time at conferences and at networking events and online things to find operators to come and present to us. And then on the weeks we don't have operators presenting, we just nitpick the deal. We dive into the spreadsheet, we dive into all the documents, do a lot of research, due diligence. If the deal doesn't look good on the first pass, we junk it. But if it looks pretty good, we'll put it through continually more detailed passes. It's kind of like when you're making pasta and you're rolling it through, and each time goes through, it's a little thinner, a little thinner. That's kind of what we do with deals. And some of them we toss out early, and some of them we go through and we actually invest in together. We use a website called tribevest.com where they set up your LLC and all of that, and they take care of everything so that you can focus on getting the money into the bank account and funding the deal. And you have a couple of options with that we can run through at the club, whether you want to be a limited partner, you want to be a joint venture partner, how much risk you want to take, how much time you want to spend. For those people who truly want to be limited partners, they're like, I am busy, I am a professional making good money, or I'm an entrepreneur who doesn't have a lot of time, I don't need a new career or start a new business, then you have the option of becoming a limited partner inside of our fund. And those deals are ones that we find and we curate, that we have vetted out and done all those layers of due diligence on. But instead of doing it in a club environment, we just do it behind the scenes internally, and we'll put the deal on our portal. People can log in. If they like the deal, they allocate some capital to it. If they don't, they pass. So we raise capital for a deal, for one deal at a time, and our investors can opt in or not on an individual deal basis.
Makes sense. Okay. So you're supporting both sides of mm-hmm. where people are at. I love that.
Yeah.
Now, if people were like, I want to learn more, what is the best way for somebody to get in touch with you? And do you happen to have a gift for our audience?
I do. We've got basically like your first 10 hours we try to cover with our free educational materials. So my YouTube channel is Passive Income Adventures, and I share there my podcast where people can listen to other people's stories who are doing this. Lots of nuts and bolts on there. I also will share some fun adventures that we're going on. We travel full time. So the little shorts and things we're up to. We're going to see the bioluminescent lagoon tonight in Orlando and things like that. So just we'll put up fun stuff there. Feel free to reach out to me there. My website is risecapitalinvestments.co or partnerwithrise.com. And if you scroll down to the bottom of that, we'll put a link in the show notes. There's the free download. I think it's like 20 pages, and it just takes you through all the financial terms that you're going to need to be familiar with. And if I just put it in a really easy like PowerPoint presentation, so it's visually very easy to follow, it's not dense, heavy text, but all the things like cash on cash return and internal rate of return and the debt service coverage ratio and all these things that you're going to see when you go to look over a prospectus, how to read it and how to make confident decisions. And on that website too, you can click the button that says schedule a call. because I know there's no ebook that's going to help people feel confident. Well, I'm ready to jump in now. So schedule a couple of calls. First one, we just get to know each other. Second one, if you decide that you think you want to invest, we'll walk you through what that process looks like. And maybe the third one, we'll get you onboarded into the portal. And there's one important thing in there about accredited investors and not accredited investors. And so if you are an accredited investor, you can come in through the fund as a limited partner. If you are not an accredited investor, we can help you figure that out. The club would be a better fit.
Beautiful. Okay. So many great things there. So definitely check out the show notes for all of those links and resources. Last question for you, Emma. What is a takeaway or a memorable note you'd like to leave our audience with today?
That you can do this. When I say the mindset is 90% of this, I'm not joking. It revolves around everything that we do is the belief that we are capable of making confident investing decisions and that it's important enough that we will spend the time investing in ourselves to be able to do it. So if you believe it, then you can create the plan and take the action. But the belief and the mindset is the very first step. And without that, nothing else happens.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much for being with us today. And I want to thank our audience for joining us on another episode of Creating Powerful Impact. I'm excited for you to take all of these lessons, all of these resources that you've learned here today. You'll probably have to rewind and listen to parts of it again because you dropped some diamonds in here. Start implementing them and create even more impact in your world. Until next time, have an outstanding rest of your day. Thank you so much for listening to the Creating Powerful Impact podcast. If you are a successful coach, speaker, author, or thought leader who would like to be on this program, simply visit creatingpowerfulimpact.com/guest. If you are someone who got something out of this interview, would you please do me a favor and share this episode on social media? Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on your socials. Also, if you know somebody that would be a great guest, tag them on social media to let them know about the show and include the hashtag Creating Powerful Impact. I love seeing all of your posts and great guest selections. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and they really mean a lot to me and my team. Want to know more about us? Head on over to our website, graceandeaseproductions.com, or follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Instagram. Just look for Grace and Ease Productions on your favorite platform. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.